सरस्वतीं व्यासं
देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं
ततो जयमुदीरयत् नष्टाप्रेषभद्रेषु नित्यं भगवतसेवया भागवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिके ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1st, Chapter 9, Text Numbers 37.
Yeah.
37. Vanigamam.
Vanigamam.
Apahaya.
Apahaya.
Matpati. Matpatigyam.
Matpatigyam.
Ritam.
Ritam.
Adhi.
Adhi.
Kartum.
Kartum.
Avapluta.
Avapluta.
Ratastha.
Ratastha.
Drita.
Drita.
Ratha.
Ratha.
Chagana.
Chagana.
Abhyayat.
Abhyayat.
Chalagu.
Chalagu.
Hari.
Hari.
Iva.
Iva.
Hantum.
Hantum.
Ibham.
Ibham.
Gata.
Gata.
Uttariya.
Uttariya.
Svanigamam apahaya matpatigyam.
Svanigamam apahaya matpatigyam.
Ritam adhikartum avapluto ratastha.
Ritam adhikartum avapluto ratastha.
Ditarata charanobhyaya chalahakur.
Ditarata charanobhyaya chalahakur.
Haririva hantum ibam katottariya.
Haririva hantum ibam katottariya.
Svanigamam apahaya matpatigyam.
Svanigamam apahaya matpatigyam.
Ritam adhikartum avaputa ratastha.
Ritam adhikartum avaputa ratastha.
Ritarata charano vyaya chalagur.
Ritarata charano vyaya chalagur.
Haririva hantum ibam gatottariya.
Haririva hantum ibam gatottariya.
Svanigamam apahaya matpatigyam.
Svanigamam apahaya matpatigyam.
Ritam adhikartum avaputo ratastha.
Ritam adhikartum avaputo ratastha.
Ritarata charano vyaya chalagur.
Ritarata charano vyaya chalagur.
Haririva hantum ibam gatottariya.
Haririva hantum ibam gatottariya.
Svanigamam apahaya matpatigyam.
Ritam adhikartum avaputo ratastha.
Ritam adhikartum avaputo ratastha.
Ritarata charano vyaya chalagur.
Ritarata charano vyaya chalagur.
Haririva hantum ibam gatottariya.
Haririva hantum ibam gatottariya. Svanigamam apahaya matpatigyam.
Svanigamam apahaya matpatigyam.
Ritam adhikartum avaputo ratastah.
Ritam
adhikartum avaputo ratastah.
Dhritra ratatka charano gayak kalagur.
Dhritarata charano gayak kalagur.
Haririva hantum ibham gatottariya.
Haririva hantum ibham gatottariya.
truthfulness.
Own truthfulness.
Apahaya.
Apahaya.
For nullifying. Matpratigyam.
Matpratigyam.
My own promise.
My own promise.
Ritam.
Ritam.
Fakshwa.
Fakshwa.
Adhi.
Adhi.
More.
More.
Dartum.
Dartum.
For doing it.
For doing it.
Avatuta.
Avatuta.
Getting down.
Getting down.
Ratastha.
Ratastha.
From the chariot.
From the chariot.
Drita.
Drita.
Taking up.
Taking up.
Ratha.
Ratha.
Chariot.
Chariot.
Charana.
Charana.
Wheel.
Wheel.
Abhyaya.
Abhyaya.
When hurriedly.
When hurriedly.
Chalago.
Chalago.
Trampling the earth.
Trampling the earth.
Hari,
Hari,
lion.
Eva,
Eva,
like.
Hantum,
to kill.
Ibham,
elephant.
Gata,
living aside.
Uttariya,
covering cloth.
Translation: fulfilling my desire and sacrificing my own promise. Let's begin again. Fulfilling my desire and sacrificing his own promise, he got down from the chariot, took up its wheel, and ran towards me hurriedly, just as a lion goes to kill an elephant. He even dropped his outer garment on the way. Please repeat. Fulfilling my desire.
Fulfilling my desire.
And sacrificing his own promise.
And sacrificing his own promise.
He got down from the chariot.
He got down from the chariot.
Took up its wheel.
Took up its wheel.
And ran towards me heartily.
And ran towards me heartily.
Just as a lion goes to kill an elephant.
Just as a lion goes to kill an elephant.
He even dropped his outer garment on the way. So the following purport was written by Siva Ingresa Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The battle of Kurukshetra was fought on military principles, but at the same time in a sporting spirit, like a friend's fight with another friend. Duryodhana criticized Bhishmadeva, alleging that he was reluctant to kill Arjuna because of paternal affection. A kshatriya cannot tolerate insults on the principle of fighting. Bhishmadeva therefore promised that the next day he would kill all five Pandavas with special weapons made for the purpose. Duryodhana was satisfied and he kept the arrows with him to be delivered the next day during the fight. By tricks, Arjuna took the arrows from Duryodhana, and Bhishmadeva could understand that this was a trick of Lord Krishna. So he took a vow that the next day Krishna would have to take up weapons himself, otherwise his friend Arjuna would die. The next day, his fighting, Bhishmadeva fought so violently that both Arjuna and Krishna were in trouble. Prabhu, I got difficulty to read. Can you turn on the light? Thank you, sorry. It's day. Arjuna was almost defeated. The situation was so tense that he was about to be killed by Bhishmadeva the very next moment. At that time, Lord Krishna wanted to please his devotee, Bhishma, by keeping Bhishma's promise, which was more important than his own. Seemingly, he broke his own promise. He promised before the beginning of the battlefield, or the battle of Kurukshetra, that he would remain without weapons and would not use his strength for either of the parties. But to protect Arjuna, he got down from the chariot, took up the wheel of the chariot, and hurriedly Rashtra Bhishmadeva in an angry mood, as a lion goes to kill an elephant. He dropped his quivering claws on the way, and out of great anger, he did not know that he had dropped it. Bhishmadeva at once gave up his weapons and stood to be killed by Krishna, his beloved lord. The fighting of the day was thus ended at that very moment, and Arjuna was saved. Of course, there was no possibility of Arjuna's death because the Lord himself was on the chariot. But because Bhishmadeva wanted to see Lord Krishna take up some weapon to save his friend, the Lord created this situation, making Arjuna's death imminent. He stood before Bhishmadeva to show him that his promise was fulfilled and that he had taken up the wheel. Svanigamam apahaya matpratigyam ritam adikartum avaplutoratastha dhrita ratha charanobhya yachaladgur harir ivahantum ibham gatottariya. Fulfilling my desire and sacrificing his own promise, he got down from the chariot, took up its wheel, and ran towards me hurriedly, just as a lion goes to kill an elephant. He even dropped his outer garment on the way. Om Gyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshulam Militanyena Tasmai Sri Gauri Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadama Yandadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yutapada Kamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavam Cha Sri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Sabadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Raghunatam Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitam Cha He Krishna Karana Sindho Dinabandha Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radha Vrindavaneshwari Prishabhano Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Pancha Kalpa Tarovyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadada Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So Bhishma was the first general of the Kaurava army, and he stayed for 10 days. 10 of the 18 days of the battle. After 5 days, Dronacharya was the general. After Dronacharya, Karna became the general for 2 days. And the last day, Shalya was the general. And at that day, the battle of Kurukshetra finished. As we have read and heard, Bhishmadeva was not at all enthusiastic about this war, and he didn't want to kill the Pandavas because he loved them and because they were right. In Duryodhana was wrong in wanting this war, and because Sri Krishna had chosen to be on the side of the Pandavas. So we have a big battlefield with millions of people. According to the Mahabharata, there were 640 million people there. So it was a lot of people.
640 million?
Yeah. And they were divided more or less in 18 Akshayini. And the Kuravas had 11 and the Pandavas had 7. So not only Duryodhana had, from a material point of view, the strongest warriors in the world, like Bhishma, Drona, Karna, Shalya, Bhurishrava, and so many others. And even Duryodhana's brother, they were all great, great warriors, but they were consistently more people. So Duryodhana was a very good politician, and he attracted a lot of people in a way or in another. Sometimes even by cheating, attracted people to be on their side, just like Shalya. Shalya is the older. It was the king of Madra. That there was a kingdom at the time in the South India. That more or less it's about it. Nowadays Madras. I think the Madras now has changed name. It's called something else. I don't remember now. It's called anyway in the South India. So he is the older brother of Madri, who was Madri. Madri was the Pandu's wife and the mother of Nakula and Sahadeva. You may know that Pandu married twice, two wives. One was Kunti and the other one was Madri. Madri is the sister of this Shalya, the king of Madra. And so when he came, so Shalya naturally wanted to fight on the Pandava side, because they were the sons of the sister?
The son-in-law?
The sons of the sister. It's
nephew.
A nephew?
Nephew. So
the son of the sister.
Nephew.
The son of the sister, the nephew. So naturally he wanted to fight on the side of his nephews. But for some trickery, he was received in Kurukshetra by a lot of opulence and kindness, and naturally thought, oh, this is my nephews arranging all this. So he said, yes, I will fight for you. And Shalya had one Akshoini. Akshoini, now I don't remember, but it's hundreds of thousands of warriors, and now I don't remember the figure. Maybe next time I can tell you the figure. What it means to be an Akshoini is hundreds of thousands of warriors and elephants and chariots and archers, you know, like this. So then Duryodhana came out and said, thank you very much. And Shalya was really, really upset, for now he had to maintain his word. At the time of the at Vedic times means the times where the Vedas were the reference, the scripture for morality, for spirituality, for everything. Just like today we have, I don't know, someone follows the Christianity or the laws of the state, like this, as a reference for his own morality, etc. At that time, the Vedas were the reference books. So one very important item, I would call it, or principle, especially for Kshatriyas, were to keep the word. If you say something, you have to do it. Otherwise, you don't say it. What happens to someone who doesn't keep his word or his promise, that he will lose strength, mental and physical strength, as a result of his promise. So if someone gives the word, for instance, at the time of initiation, he promises to follow four devotee principles, chanting 16 rounds, and he doesn't follow, then he will have to pay for this not keeping word. Or even during the day, it's not just a spiritual principle, it's also a principle of morality. If you say something, that should be maintained. That, of course, was especially for Kshatriyas, but not only for Kshatriyas. Not only for Kshatriyas, it was for everyone. So Shalya had promised this, but as you can see from the Mahabharata, the material planification, is that correct to say? Planning something not always comes out correctly, because Shalya, because he was cheated, he had in his mind always the how can I revenge for this injustice that Duryodhana had made me. So he had a very, very clever plan at the end of the battle of becoming himself the charioteer of Karna, Shalya. In the 16 or 17 days of the battle, he became Karna's charioteer, and he was very much instrumental for sucking away Karna's determination. And at the end, the most feared warrior was defeated and killed, because he had to know that the warrior the Pandavas feared the most were not Bhishma or Drona or the other, but were Karna. And I promise, you know, now I'm the story of Karna, last time that we gave a class, I promise that I will tell you the whole story so you will understand why Karna was so important for Duryodhana and why he was so feared by the Pandavas. So Shalya was his charioteer and took away his determination, and we will see next time, I promise, so I to maintain my word now. Next class I will tell you the complete story of Karna's life up to the end, when he was killed by Arjuna on the seventh day of the battle, the Kurukshetra battle. So Bhishma was not very much feared by the Pandavas, because he was a devotee, and so was Drona, also Dronacharya. He loved very much the Pandavas, and so the Pandavas were not fearing, while Karna wanted to kill them. Karna actually wanted to kill the Pandavas. So this specific pastime that Bhagavatam and Srila Prabhupada in its purport is telling was that every time Bhishma Deva during the, you have to imagine that 640 million people is not a small thing, you know, must be hundreds of kilometers. So not always the warriors were meeting. Sometimes it was even very difficult to meet each other, because someone may have been 10 miles away from where the other one was. So every time Bhishma would close to the Pandavas in a way or another, he was saying to his charioteer to please go somewhere else, so he didn't have to fight the Pandavas. And sometimes vice versa, because the Pandavas also didn't like to kill Bhishma Deva, although they knew that it was very difficult even for them to kill Bhishma Deva. So great was his power. So Duryodhana understood this lacking of enthusiasm, and the Bhishma Deva in reference to the Pandavas, and he criticized him very every day, basically. Every day when the war finished and everyone was go back to their tents, Duryodhana would go to Bhishma, criticizing his Bhishma Deva. Why you didn't do that? I saw you doing that. You didn't do it. Why? So one day, Bhishma Deva got tired of this, and he said, "Okay, tomorrow I will kill the Pandavas, but at one condition, that the only thing I cannot do is to defeat Krishna. I can defeat everyone on this battlefield, but not Krishna. Krishna is invincible. I can defeat everyone on this battlefield, but not Krishna. Krishna is invincible, cannot be defeated. So if Krishna would enter into the battlefield and take up arms, I will not be able to kill the Pandavas, because he would defend them." And Duryodhana was in glee, because he said, "Well, Krishna will not take arms because he promised not to." So he was sure tomorrow is the last day of the Pandavas. So then we come to the day where Bhishma Deva fought like never, like it was like a blazing fire in the middle of cotton or something. I don't know how to describe it. Everywhere he would go, everything would take just fire. So And Krishna knew that Bhishma Deva was very incensed that day, and would do in such a way, while the Pandavas were saying, no, we had to go to fight Bhishma Deva, otherwise he will today destroy our entire army, let's go to fight. But Krishna would arrange in a way or in another that no Pandavas will get near Bhishma Deva that day, except himself with Arjuna. So by the end of the day, while Bhishma Deva was chasing after the Pandavas would just disappear somewhere else, then Bhishma and Arjuna came together. They were in front, face to face. And in the Mahabharata there is a most beautiful description of the fighting between Bhishma. And it was the Mahabharata goes into a lot of details about the fighting, how many arrows Bhishma Deva would shoot, and how Arjuna would counterattack, and the type of weapons. Mahabharata is an unbelievable literature. So what happened is that that day, the real reason why Bhishma Deva was so fiery is that he wanted to force Krishna to intervene, to take up arms, because in his heart he had the desire to see Krishna in that way, because there was his Svarupa. Bhishma Deva is a Svarupa, fights with Krishna in the spiritual world. You know, it's a mock fighting, but it's a fighting. So Bhishma Deva was so pressing Arjuna, and from the material point of view, Bhishma Deva was much stronger than Arjuna. Arjuna couldn't, without Krishna in front, Arjuna would have been killed by Bhishma. Bhishma Deva was the most powerful warrior in the world. Nobody would be like him. After him was Dronacharya. Was very powerful, Dronacharya. And after all, everyone else. So, at that point, Bhishma and Arjuna were in front. They were fighting for hours. And at the end, Arjuna was having hard time. So at a certain point, everyone was fearing for Arjuna's life. And Arjuna and Sri Krishna was furious with Arjuna, because one of the reasons, it was true that Bhishma Deva was stronger, but Arjuna could have been fighting better. Even Arjuna's heart was not in the fight, because he loved Bhishma Deva. You know, Bhishma was like his loving father of his or grandfather during his childhood. When he was a child, Arjuna was most probably the most loved grandchild. You know what grandfathers do? You know, they spoil the children because they are getting old, and so they want to give love to somebody. They spoil their grandchildren. So this is what had happened between Bhishma Deva and Arjuna. So how can you kill somebody like that? How can you kill your loved, beloved grandfather? And how can you actually kill your grandson? So Bhishma Deva was fighting to kill Arjuna, but at the same time, he was not really fighting at the best. But Arjuna was really under the standard. He just wasn't fighting. So Krishna said, okay, you fight or I will take up arms. And Arjuna said, oh, yes, yes, and he was continuing fighting without that something that you can. At a certain point, Krishna got down on the chariot and started advancing against Bhishma Deva. But Arjuna got down and took him back and said, no, no, I will fight, don't worry. Some more fighting. At the end, Krishna lost his transcendental patience and got down from the chariot. And the description in the Mahabharata is very graphic. It was like the Lord had his heirs completed this he-level. How you say that in English? Completely
loose.
And normally the Kshatriyas, they have long hairs, but they tied it, you know, in the back. so they don't give disturbance while fighting. And while getting down, he lost his crown, you know, for the excitement of the fight. And his eyes were red, was completely red by anger. And his lips, his transcendental lips, were quivering like this. When you are very angry, your lips, and his whole body was like tense. You know, so this, Sri Krishna had a very powerful body, and he was moving very quickly because he wanted to save his dear devotee Arjuna. He just took the wheel of his chariot, and this is not a small wheel. You know, it's a big. You know, the war chariots, they were big things. You know, it was like huge. So he took it with just one hand, without any effort. Not his own chariot of his own, not the wheel of his own chariot, but some other wheel that the battlefield in Kurukshetra was strewn with bodies and of men and horses and pieces of the chariots broken during the, so he took one of those and ran, and he lost his outer garment. You know, he had garments. Sri Krishna was not dressed as a warrior because he wasn't fighting, and he ran in front towards Bhishma. I wanted to kill him, and his face was really something, was reddish. And so Bhishmadeva enjoyed seeing Krishna, and he couldn't kill Arjuna. He couldn't kill Arjuna because there was his condition to Duryodhana: I will kill the Pandavas if Krishna will not take up arms against me. So at that point we had two words. Bhishmadeva promised to kill Arjuna, but he didn't want to kill Arjuna. And as a Kshatriya, he should have maintained his word, so he had to kill Arjuna. So on the other side, there is a Krishna's word not to take arms. So Krishna said, if I don't intervene, Bhishmadeva is not going to kill Arjuna because he loves him too much. So his dharma will lose strength because he will not maintain his word. So what is more important, Krishna thought, that I maintain my word or Bhishmadeva maintains his word? So it's more important that my devotee will not be criticized, and let the people criticize me for not keeping my word, but let nobody to kill my dear devotees for not keeping the word. So he took up arms against Bhishma, and so Bhishma could not actually kill Arjuna. That was the story behind Bhishmadeva not being able to kill the Pandavas in that day. And you can see the artistic nature of the Lord, who does not use his entire complete powers to accomplish things, because Krishna is Almighty Supreme Personality of Godhead. He didn't need a wheel or a chariot to kill Bhishmadeva. If he so wanted, he could have just desired, but actually he didn't even need to put up such a drama on the battlefield of a big, you know, big big war between devotees and demons. He could have just killed whoever he wanted, but this is his nature. It is Krishna's nature. He wants to play, and this is how he does things. He does things in such a way that everyone has a reason for meditation, that everyone has something to meditate upon. Otherwise, what do you meditate? The Krishna just said, okay, everybody dead? Is that a pastime? Is that something that we can meditate upon? And meditation is very important, remembering. Remembering Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, remembering the Lord. It's very important. It's our way for liberation. So he enacts all these pastimes in such a way we can liberate ourselves by remembering these wonderful pastimes of Sri Krishna and his pure devotees. So, two reasons for pastimes. One, just because he likes them, and the second, to give us material for meditation. So, there is another detail of the story about the five arrows. I will tell this detail another time. So if there is any question, I will be happy to answer. But we have to take this small thing.
Actually, it's a unidirectional recorder, and it can pick up
really?
Voices very good.
Okay.
So yeah, like speak this volume. Who did you say was the general on the last day?
Shalya.
Shalya.
Yeah, Shalya. Shalya was the king of Madras.
Okay, that was.
You found it?
Yes. Shalya.
Yes, Shalya was a very pious king. Very nice. Very powerful. Very powerful, also. But he was killed by Yudhishthira with a javelin in the 18th day of his battle, and while he was doing that, Yudhishthira was crying because he had to do it. You know, and Shalya was very, very loved by everyone. And the Pandava had the same general for the entire 18 days. Who knows the name of the general? That's Drishtadyumna. And Drishtadyumna was destined to kill Dronacharya, the 15th day. Drishtadyumna was the one who killed Dronacharya. Drishtadyumna is the brother of Draupadi. You know it. And both, and they are twins. They born actually for the five sacrifice, which was performed by their father, Drupada, because Drupada wanted a revenge against Dronacharya. You know the story? Why Drupada?
That was the king that promised him half of his kingdom.
That's right.
And then we got.
Yes, yes. So Drupada was very much felt very much insulted because the day he went to the point is that the Dronacharya was the guru of the Pandavas, and although he was a Brahmana, at the end of the course they gave him some guru dakshina, but not. Well, that's another story. The story is that Dronacharya and Drupada, they grew up in the Gurukula together when they were very young. So while they were children, Drupada was the prince, promised Dronacharya to give him half of his kingdom, and Dronacharya was very, very poor. He didn't have any money. He didn't know to make so much so that he couldn't give him milk to his son, who is Dronacharya's son, very famous. Ashvatthama. This is a very famous personality in the Bhagavatam. And and he was so poor that he couldn't give milk. And one day, they gave him some kind of white beverage to drink, And he started to dance. He said, "Oh, I drank milk, because it was his dream to drink milk." It was that day that Dronacharya said, "Oh no, this is too much. No, I cannot be a Grihastha, be so poor. So I will go to my friend who had promised me half of his kingdom." So, and but Prabhupada treated him very badly, and so Dronacharya, through his disciples, defeated him very badly, and he wanted a revenge. It's a long story. Wanted a revenge, he performed a fast sacrifice, and the first figure who emerged from the fire was Drishtadyumna, who had a destiny to kill Dronacharya, and then came out a female who would have been the cause of the situation where Drishtadyumna will kill Dronacharya, and Draupadi is the main reason why the battle, the war in Kurukshetra happened. So this is how, and I will tell you some other day how Drishtadyumna killed Dronacharya, definitely. In a very treacherous way, not very honest way. Dronacharya had given up his desire to fight, and he said, "Okay, that's it. I don't want to have any more, nothing to do with this unacceptable thing that is happening, dying and killing. This is disgusting." He sat down on his chariot in a yoga. Dronacharya was a yogi. In a yoga position, he was meditating to leave his body, and Drishtadyumna just came, climbed on his chariot, and decapitated him with a sword. That is the how Ashwatthama then revenged after the battle by killing everyone in the night. And you know the story, how there's a lot of stories. There's a lot of stories, yes. At least we don't get bored in our lives, so we get a lot of study and remembering and learning history. There is a lot of history to learn. Okay, any other question?
Question.
Please.
You mentioned Madhu's brother.
Whose brother?
Madhu's brother.
Who?
Shalya.
Oh, Madhu's brother.
Yeah,
okay.
Shalya kind of felt cheated by Duryodhana.
Mm.
Still, he had to fight on his side. My question is, if Duryodhana had that many people, 11 Akshakinis, and a lot of them felt like that, and they were there on his side, but they were not there wholeheartedly, there wasn't a real, I mean, how true it is that Duryodhana's suspicion that even in the case of Bhishmadeva, he had a suspicion that he's not fighting with his whole heart. So these 11 Akshakinis, was that, I mean, that was the number, but you know, how many people were there who were not there wholeheartedly? And so it seems like it's deceiving. There's a large number, but there are a large number of the fighters, the kshatriyas, who are not, you know, fighting, but they're not really fighting full force. They have reservations. What's the ratio? Do you know what I mean? We know in the case of Shalya and Bhishma that's the case, but is there more?
There was a very large, there was a certain number, the ratio is difficult to establish it, but let's say that we have a large number of people who really did not want, did not kill the Pandavas, like Bhishma, Drona, and when I talk about Bhishma, I talk about his army. But basically, when we talk about a certain level of warriors, the army didn't really matter, because you know, someone like Arjuna could fight against was Atirata. Atirata means he can fight against the 60,000 of normal warriors. So the army didn't really matter. But there were different kinds of warriors. So there was some kind of warrior who will not kill the Pandavas, no way. And basically there were two, you know, and someone else also. But then there were other people, which is the largest number, that they were, they had the heart on the part of the Panda, but they would still fight against the Panda and kill the Pandavas. Just like the Pandavas kill people who they did not want to kill. The Pandava did not want to kill Bhishma or Drona or Shalya, as I mentioned, Shalya, or others. Like there was this very noble, great warrior called Burishrava. Burishrava was the son of Bhagadatta. He was an incredible warrior fighting on the back of Supratika, which was a huge elephant, the biggest elephant in Kurukshetra, you know. And he was so noble, so... And he was fighting on the part of the Kurava because during the years they had a very nice relationship with them. So you cannot have a friend and at the time of need you say, no, I go in the other way. It's just not Kshatriya Dharma. Doesn't work like that. So if for many, many years, and Duryodhana was very clever in keeping everyone on his side, he would have friendship with so many, even Balarama did not fight. So why Balarama did not? He went for a Tirtha Yatra for 18 days. He was going for pilgrimage in various places, and in one of these days he met the famous pastime of Balarama killing Roma Harshana. You remember the story, how Lord Balarama arrived in Naimisharanya, and there was these sages and they were talking and they were discussing, etc. There was the guru was talking at that time, who was the great authority on history, and he was the disciple of Vyasadeva, but since he was not not a brahmana, but was of the Sutta caste. Sutta caste is a mixed class composed by father who is a brahmana and a wife who is a shudra. So it comes out of the Sutta caste. And Ramaharshana, since he was not a pure brahmana, he wasn't given the Vedas, but the itihasas, which are the stories, which means the Mahabharata, the Puranas, you know, all these hundreds of thousands of books on history. So at the time, Ramaharshana was talking about the Puranas, Lord Balaram arrived and he didn't get up. So Lord Balaram touched him with the grass and killed him in this way. And the famous Sutta Goswami, who is talking now, this Bhagavad to us, was Ramaharshana Sutta. Sutta Goswami was because actually his name was Sauti, and so anyway Balarama did not fight. Why? Because Duryodhana went to school with Balarama. He learned the art of club fighting, club the mace, by Balarama. And during that time all this was planned by Duryodhana. It wasn't just casual that he went to Balarama and he wanted to marry Subhadra. Duryodhana was supposed to marry Subhadra, but Arjuna kidnapped her before the marriage. So Duryodhana, from the first, when he became a little grown up, he had all this just in his mind, and he was planning in such a way that if, and this was more than a possibility, he had to clash with the Pandavas, he would be in the position to win. So Duryodhana was a very good disciple, very loving disciple of Lord Balaram. Lord Balaram was so happy and satisfied with this nicely behaved young prince that he promised him to give him his sister in marriage, which is Subhadra. But Krishna did not like the idea, so when Arjuna was going around in pilgrimage, he planned with Arjuna, so because Arjuna was in love with Subhadra, go and kidnap her. And the whole story then how Arjuna dressed up as a sannyasi. Actually, Mahabharata used the word yati, not sannyasi, yati, which is a little different than sannyasi. Anyway, he went to Dwaraka and kidnapped Arjuna, and Balarama wanted to kill Arjuna, and Krishna, you know, talk to him and pacify him. So when he came to the point of the battle of Kurukshetra, hailing Balarama, you know, as an ally, only Balarama would have won the war, but he could not fight because his brother Krishna was fighting on the other side. So he said, I cannot fight my own beloved disciple, who has been the most beloved disciple I had, nor I can fight against you, or you are my brother. So you see how Krishna won the war. Not the Pandavas, not the arrows, not the spades, not the javelins, it's just Krishna. Krishna's presence solved the whole situations. And Balarama said, I cannot fight on one side, I cannot fight on the other, then I would go. And Balarama would go away. Or when Bhima killed Duryodhana and Balarama wanted to revenge the dishonest way that Bhima killed Duryodhana. Because during there's so many stories. I'm telling you too much. But you know, all these pastimes, because these are pastimes. They are spiritual pastimes, although we are not talking about Vrindavan, Krishna and Radhakund, etc. Still these are pastimes and purified our mind and our heart by telling them, by hearing them, by remembering them. So please study the history and try to have all the schemes in front of you so that you can be expert. And I tell you, when you go in front of people, especially Indians, and now our preaching to Indian people is huge all over the world. If they understand you don't know the Mahabharata, you don't know the Ramayana, you don't know the Bhagavata, if you don't even know what are the Vedas, etc., they won't listen to you. Because being preacher means being Brahmanas, and Brahmanas has to know the Vedas, has to know the Puranas, has to know the scriptures like this. You know? And it's when they hear, when they understand that you know Mahabharata and Ramayana, they are impressed. And this is important, that the people respect us for what we are. And if they respect us, they will respect our guru, our Srila Prabhupada. Otherwise people say, how come this Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada had so many disciples who don't know? He didn't train them. So actually Srila Prabhupada trained us not in the classic way of training. During many times every guru had a few disciples, didn't have thousands of disciples, because in this way he could train them, and they would go to Gurukula, which means the school, and they would learn. It was like a school, and they would learn the scripture, they would learn Sanskrit, they would learn the Upanishad, they would have philosophy and all the sciences. This is important because also our intelligence becomes strong. We can become devotees by the mind because we like it, but liking it is not the same when you have understood it. Understanding is like very deep roots, that you put roots inside. Liking it, okay, we all like it. Being devotees is wonderful. The devotees are wonderful, the Maha Mantra is wonderful, the Prasad is wonderful. But when you understand the philosophy, then you become solid. You will not leave Krishna consciousness. Any other question?
Thank you. That was very interesting. I didn't know actually while Balaram was on pilgrimage and while the battle was going on in Kurukshetra, actually that's the time when the sages actually gathered.
Yes.
For the purpose of diffusing the coming influence of Age of Kali. And when he killed Rama Harshan. So that's the time. It's interesting, that's the time when Sutta Goswami will be speaking Bhagavatam, no? Right after that.
The Bhagavatam was spoken right after.
Yeah, right after.
Right after, because we know this by certain stories. Like, for instance, when Maharaj Parikshit had punished the personality of Kali. So Kali Yuga was already begun at the time, was just on the point of beginning. And Parikshit was the posthumous son of Abhimanyu and Uttara. Abhimanyu was killed on the battlefield. So that means that, if I don't remember incorrectly, Parikshit was a 36 at the time of meeting Kali. At the time, so that means that since Sri Krishna gave up 20 years. After the end of the battlefield, that means that was just 10 or 20 years that the Kali Yuga had begun. So the Bhagavatam was spoken right after the beginning of Kali Yuga.
That's a neat little detail. I have maybe a few more things. Sometimes you mentioned how Krishna, when he picked up the wheel, we see that only the garment fell off and his hair loosened up.
Some jewels also.
Some jewels. And it seems like that this indicates that he did not have an armor. I did saw sometimes Krishna is depicted on the chariot with the armor. So would that be and then I see Nectar of Devotion is described as Vanamali. Vanamali means he only has a fresh forest flower garland. There's no armor. And actually that's how all the soldiers perceive him. They perceive him as sages, as Vanamali. It's very simple chariot driver, no armor. So have you heard anything of him having an
There is
armor?
No description of the Mahabharata indicating that Sri Krishna had an armor. While there are descriptions of other charioteers having armors, because otherwise they would be, there were thousands of arrows going around, So, and normally charioteers are not aimed by warriors because they are unarmed. You don't kill somebody who is not armed, but in Kurukshetra this was done also, in particular cases when the charioteer were killed. Mahabharata was a very very special. Something went really seriously wrong from the dharmic point of view. I can tell you hundreds of cases when the Kshatriya dharma was broken to pieces. And there is a lot of talking between scholars, Kshatriyas, and Brahmanas also, and how the battlefield of Kurukshetra became very unholy. Unholy means that there were no fair play. There was no fair warfare.
Mm.
And but I read all the Mahabharata more than one time, the complete Mahabharata, and I also a few other shorter editions, but Krishna never is, as far as I remember, is described wearing an armor.
Okay. So if there are pictures, if there are pictures of Krishna in armor, that's not really
well
as it is.
You know, sometimes it's like you have to convey an idea in pictures, you know. You don't have to take it, see them from the historical point of view. You have to see them from the, I would say, just to give you an idea that Krishna was in a battlefield. So someone who is a battlefield wears armor, not in case of Krishna. So don't take these pictures as historical authorities.
Then again, there was an armor because the whole chariot was protected with that shield, because at the end Krishna told Arjuna.
Oh no, but Arjuna was taking arrows and Krishna also took many weapons
mm-hmm.
on him. Just like I mentioned that Bhurishrava warrior, son of Bhagadatta, and Bhurishrava hit Krishna with a very powerful javelin just right in the chest. Well, actually he aimed Arjuna, but in a way or another Krishna put his chariot to take it, and there was this weapon would have killed anybody in the world. It was a divine javelin, and as soon as there is this description, the Mahabharata, very vivid description how this javelin became a garland immediately after, and Bhurishrava was very very surprised, and because this armor was given to him by Narayana himself, you know. So Krishna and Bhurishrava said, what's happened? He said, well, I gave it to you and now I took it back. So and then Bhurishrava understood who Krishna was actually. So you can see in this description, you see that Krishna and Arjuna, they would take, you know, Arjuna was often harmed, and Krishna also was hidden by, was not that they were, you know, covered completely. No, it's just they were invincible, but they would take weapons upon themselves. Was just that not the whole quantity of weapons worked completely on them. I told the story how the chariot was destroyed the fire, in dust, right after the battle of Kurukshetra. There is this very nice description. The Bhagavatam also tells this story. I told this story a couple of classes ago.
Yeah.
How Krishna said that you get down on the chariot, and Arjuna said, why? Don't worry, you just get down. Then Krishna got down, the whole chariot burst into flame, into dust. Because he said, we took a lot of, they took a lot of weapons, but not all of them. Otherwise, they would have been killed. We have to understand that at that time there were warriors who had many divine weapons given to them by Brahma, by Shiva, by Indra, by Chandra, by so many devas. So actually, there was the main warrior. They were all divine personalities coming they were either big demons or big devas, you know. So the story was that there are 12 main wars between devas and demons in the history. In every day of Brahma there are 12 wars. In one of these wars Vishnu intervened and so many demons were killed. So the demons, they met and they said, what do we do? And they said, well, in how come the devas are so powerful. And they said, well, they are so powerful because on the planet Earth they do yagyas for them. This is how the devas, they become powerful. They give, they do yagyas on Earth. So demons said, okay, then we had to go to Earth, kill brahmanas, kill the cows, and also cancel Vedic culture on the Earth in such a way that the devas will become weaker and we can defeat them. So they all came down. Vishnu understood this plan. He said, okay, this is the time for me to come on Earth, destroy these demons. And he asked all the devas to come down, and all the devas were present. So we didn't have just arrows and knives there. We had Brahmastras, we had Narayanastras, we had so many divine weapons that they were working in wonderful ways, just like you had one arrow who could create thousands of arrows. Just shooting one arrow, you had thousands of arrows. So this was a battlefield of Kurukshetra. Was a battlefield between devas and demons, actually, between Sura and Asura. It was not a battle between men. They were men, they were killed very quickly, and then they only, Sura and Asuras from the heavenly planets remained.
Mm-hmm. There were like demigods on the battlefield?
Oh yeah, yes. There were many, many demigods on the battlefield. They came through, or personally, or through the energies, just like Arjuna was the energy of Indra, just like Vayu was the energy of Vayu, like Yudhisthira was the energy of Dharma, and there was a Soma was present through Abhimanyu, and there were so many devas there.
Yeah, that was that's the beginning of Krishna book.
It's the beginning of the Krishna book.
Because Krishna ordered them, you go first.
Because there was this has been this war between and the devas had won, but the demons had understood how to weaken the devas by stopping Vedic sacrifices on Earth. But Vishnu understood and he said, no, we cannot allow this to happen. Immediately, let's go there and let's kill them again. So it was like that. The earth had become a war field of a very ancient war between devas and demons.
Is Dharma and Yamaraj the same?
Yes. Dharmaraj and Yamaraj is the same person, just the same. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Look at all the Tushi Da Prabhupada.
I can email that.
Can you send it through email, please?